Praise the Lord. Good to be saved. Good to be in the church amongst the brethren. We've been going through the Old Testament. Many of you know we are now in the book of Numbers. So let's go ahead and go there. Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. Let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, thank you for life and breath. God, thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for sending your Son to suffer and die in our place. God, we ask for your help this morning as we read and study your word. May we be encouraged by it, strengthened by it, and may you be honored and glorified. And we ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Numbers chapter 10, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee 2 trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camp." So we're going to read this a little more, but we see that God's given Moses direction to make 2 trumpets of silver. So we see there's 2 of them. They're made of silver. Verse number 2, they're made for the calling of the assembly, for the journeyings of the camp. Let's keep going. Verse 3, "And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation," gather the people together. Verse 4, "And if they blow but with 1 trumpet, the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee." But this was interesting, just as we're going through it. Even the heads of the nation of Israel was to be subject to the trumpets, the call of the trumpets. Most of the time, people in positions of leadership, positions of power, most especially at a national level, see themselves as above the law or above the requirements of the nation. Not so. So let's see, verse 5, "When you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys." Verse number 7, "But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets. And they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations." So we see it's the priests who are supposed to blow with the trumpets, priests who are supposed to use the trumpets. And keep going, verse number 9, the Bible says, "And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies." So we see here, verse 9, God says, if you're going to go to war, I want you to blow with these trumpets, cause you to be remembered before God and give you victory. Verse number 10, the Bible says, "Also in the day of your gladness." Things are good. Nationally, things are going well. What did God say? Blow with the trumpets. Also, verse 10, "And in your solemn days," had plenty of them, "and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God." So we see God gave them these 2 trumpets. He had them make these 2 trumpets. Say a couple of things here. I think that, first of all, it's good to mention we believe the Bible. We believe it to be the Word of God. We take it as inerrant and perfect. And therefore, it is our final and highest authority. I was talking to a guy just Friday night in St. Augustine, and said he was a Christian, said he was saved. And I said, you know, what do you think about the Bible? We started talking about the Bible. Well, you know, there's some stuff that's just not translated right. There's some stuff that's missing. Well, if you believe that some stuff isn't translated right, how do you know what you do believe is translated right? You know, how do you know John 3:16 is right? Oh, John 3, we love John 3:16. We love Psalm 23. How do you know any of that's right? You know, so we believe the Bible is the Word of God, which is our final authority. So we take it literally. And this is literal historical fact. And we see this play out throughout the nation. Just a couple of places want to get. Let's go with 2 Chronicles. Go there. 2 Chronicles. And let's go chapter 13. Second Chronicles chapter 13. And here we have Jeroboam coming against Abijah. So this is after the split in the nation of Israel. Jeroboam's going to war against Abijah. Abijah being Judah, Jeroboam being Israel. And just start at verse number 12. The Bible says, "And behold, God himself is with us. For our captain," talking Abijah, talking here, "and his priests with sounding trumpets to cry an alarm against you. O children of Israel, fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for ye shall not prosper." He's reminding him of this very passage, Numbers chapter 10. He's reminding him, we have the priests. We have the trumpets. We're going to blow these trumpets as an alarm against you, and God's going to fight this battle. Verse 13, "But Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come about behind them. So they were before Judah, and the ambushment was behind them. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind, and they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah." So there we see it play out in the history of the nation. Look at Jeremiah chapter 4. We're just going to get a couple of these. Jeremiah chapter 4. And let's go verse number 5. The Bible says, "Declare ye in Judah." Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 5. "Declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the defensive cities." Jeremiah is warning them, we need to blow the trumpets. We need to sound an alarm. You need to gather together, assemble yourselves back to this place. But the nation wasn't interested. Take a look at Jeremiah 42. Jeremiah 42, watch this. Verse number 13 is Jeremiah rebuking the nation of Israel for wanting to leave the promised land to go back into Egypt, of which God had advised them not to do. So verse 13, he says, "But if ye say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there we will dwell." So the nation of Israel saying, no, we're sick and tired of the trumpet. We don't want to hear the trumpet. We were downtown St. Augustine and, you know, this, we're preaching, we're singing, and you get, you know, most people are not happy. Most people are, you know, telling you to get off the streets. Some idiot in a red suit and black boots and a white beard runs up. Oh, Merry Christmas. Everybody's like shouting and for joy. Like, are you kidding me? People don't want to hear the truth, but they want to hear a lie. That's the nation of Israel. Oh, I don't want to hear that trumpet anymore. I'm sick and tired of hearing that trumpet. You're always calling us to assemble. You're always calling us to go on a journey. You're always sending us here and sending us there. God, don't get tired of hearing the trumpet. All right, just one more. Actually, we'll skip that one just for sake of time. So the Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." So all of this, even though it has literal historical application, there is something more to it. And that's what we see a lot of in the Old Testament. There is something more to it that we just don't see at a surface level. And I'm going to lay it out there. I think it's pretty clear, if you want to go back, Numbers chapter 10, the two trumpets appear to me to be most typical of the Scriptures, the words of God. First and foremost, Numbers chapter 10. If you want to keep Numbers 10, we're going to go a bunch of different places. Numbers chapter 10 and 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Numbers 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll see this play out. Numbers chapter 10, just to reread it, verse number 2, make thee two trumpets of silver. So we have two trumpets. Very interesting, two trumpets. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 6, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And then skip down verse number 14. The Bible says, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So we see we have the Old Testament, the New Testament. Two primary books make up the Bible, the Scriptures. Go back Numbers chapter 10. Check this out. The Bible says, verse number 2, make thee two trumpets of silver. Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 12, verse number 6, the words of the Lord are pure words as silver. As silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So we have these two trumpets. They're made of silver. We have two books. God likens them unto silver that's purified. Not gold. Very interesting. If you remember back when we looked at the ark, the gold kind of typified deity, right, being the most precious of all the metals. Silver also being a precious metal. And God here in Psalm 12 likens his word unto purified silver. Back to Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. The Bible says, make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them. A whole piece. So this is interesting. We see that God told the nation of Israel to make these two trumpets of one piece of silver. Now, if you think about it, silver, right, in its earthly form, you can't get it to be perfectly pure, right? When the refineries sell you a coin of silver, they'll say it's 99.9% pure silver. It's, you know, there's minute details in the makeup of the metal with each time they pull it out of the ground and they refine it. And so God said, I don't want any differences between the minute makeup of the metal of these two trumpets. I want them to be unified. I want them to be the same. So I want a whole piece to make these two trumpets of silver. He says, one piece, it's signifying the unification of the book. Watch this. Keep Numbers 10. Get Joshua 24. We'll talk about a couple of these. Joshua 24. Joshua chapter 24. And go down to verse 26. The Bible says, and Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. So here, Joshua, we've reached the end of his life. If you're looking, we're in the end of the book of Joshua. And Joshua has written this book. He's added these words. And very important, it says, verse number 26, Joshua wrote these words in the book, singular, of the law. Now, most of the time when scholars talk about this, they're going to say, well, the law was given by Moses. Very true, it was. But Joshua has added to these words because God is giving progressive revelation. So God has moved from what he gave Moses, Genesis through Deuteronomy, and he's now given the book of Joshua. Joshua has added that, and it's still one book. Isn't that interesting? It's one book, even though Joshua has now added the book of Joshua to the law. God still calls it one book. Look at Psalm chapter 40. We'll get a couple of these. Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40 and verse number 7. Psalm chapter 40, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. We read that same thing in Hebrews. In the volume of the book, singular. It's one book. God, yes, we do believe there's an Old Testament, New Testament. We believe there are 66 books that make up the Bible, but it's one book. It is unified. It is of one material through and through. These are the words of God. Let's get Isaiah 34. Look at this one. So we see this. We see this in the Psalms. We saw this in Joshua. Of course, we know that in Deuteronomy. But now look at Isaiah 34. We're a good ways removed from the times of Joshua and Moses. Isaiah chapter 34. Many of you may have committed this one to memory. Isaiah 34, verse 16. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. He didn't say go get the books, and then we acknowledge there are 66 books, but it's one book. It's the Bible, the words of God unified together. One more. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. So we saw this in the Old Testament through and through. We see this in the New Testament. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, verse number 7. Behold, I come quickly. Amen. Looking forward to that. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard them and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. So the Bible, very interesting book. It is written by over 40 different penmen. There are 40 men that God used to actually put the words on paper. I wouldn't use the word author. There's one author, it's God. But he used 40 men to put the words on paper over the course of 1,500 years. And yet it's one book. Not only that, we have men from every area of life. If you think about the writers of the Bible, we have fishermen, tax collector, we have prophet, we have priest, we have king, you have shepherd, you have farmer. You have all of these different people from all of these different walks of life that God has used to pen these words. And yet the whole thing flows together and is one book. Whole thing flows together, has one topic. The whole thing flows together and leads in one truth, one direction, Jesus Christ. He is what this book is all about, and everything we read, so much about it, points us right to him. And Old and New Testament, regardless of who the author. Not only that, think about how a culture can have an influence on an individual, on their heart, on their mind, how they act. But we read here through this book of what these 40 men wrote. But it's at different times of the nation and different times of history. We have the writings at the beginning of the nation, at the very start, right? When Moses bringing the people out of Egypt and establishing them first in the wilderness, Joshua into the promised land. Then we've got at the peak of the nation, David and Solomon, and yet it all is one book. And of course, we have at the destruction of the nation. That has an effect on people. If you were to consider, growing up in America or living in America, being born in America, we have a way in this day and age that we think and operate. And, a lot of you don't act that way in Africa. You don't think that way. I'm just going to get it off Amazon. You don't do that in Africa, right? Not only that, consider the timing in our country, right? If you had been born during the Great Depression, people didn't throw stuff away. Nowadays, what we say, I say it, I don't know if you guys say it, but I say this is all cheap Amazon junk. And so it ends up in the garbage very quickly. But back then, it was about having quality goods that were going to last you a lifetime because you may not have money to buy it again. Right? So they held on to stuff. Just the position of your nation has an effect on your thoughts and your actions. And here we have all these different penmen in all these different walks of life at all these different periods of time. And yet it's one book. That couldn't be if it was not the words of God. It couldn't be. There's no way that the writing would line up and correlate and cross-reference like it does if it hadn't been by one author. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. And let's get with it this time. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Numbers 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Numbers chapter 10, the Bible says, make thee two trumpets of silver of a whole piece, shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly. Verse 3, and when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So we see that these trumpets were used to bring the people together to assemble the congregation at the house of God, no less. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the Bible says, verse number 1, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. He said, it is an order given to the churches that you meet together on the first day of the week. What's the driving force behind that? Is it my opinion? Is it just what I like to do every week? I mean, I do like it, but what's the driving force? It's the words of God. The words of God are what is driving us to meet together on the first day of the week. Just as we saw with those trumpets, they were the driving force to bring the assembly together before the congregation or before the tabernacle of the Lord. Let's see. Let's go, while you're in the New Testament, working your way back to Numbers 10. Go Matthew 28, Mark 16. Matthew 28, Mark 16. Matthew 28, Mark 16. All right. Numbers chapter 10. The Bible says, verse number 2, make thee two trumpets of silver of a whole piece, shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. Look at verse number 4, and if they blow but with one trumpet, the princes which are heads of the thousands of Israel shall gather themselves unto thee. When you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie in the east parts shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. So what were the trumpets supposed to do? Drive the nation to go. Drive the nation to go. Take your journeys. What are we called to do? Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, the Bible says, verse 19, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We are commanded to go. It's the scriptures that tell us to go, to take our journeys, to carry these words, this hope, this truth to the ends of the world. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. You might be familiar there. The Bible says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we see Numbers chapter 10. God said, I want you to make these two trumpets, and these trumpets are going to be the driving force to take this nation forward, to get you to take your journeys. And God's got journeys for you. God's got journeys for me. He wants us to go and tell the world the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see that through the scriptures. Back to Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. And if you want New Testament, get Ephesians chapter 6. Numbers 10, Ephesians chapter 6. All right, Numbers chapter 10. Verse number 9. And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. God said, I want you to make these two trumpets, and I want you to use these trumpets. I want you to avail yourself of these trumpets. Sound with these trumpets before you go into war. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, the Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. God says, you have a battle to fight. You have a war to be engaged in. It's not the same war that Israel had, or the same wars that Israel had. They fought after flesh and blood with swords and spears. We don't do that. But we do have a battle to be engaged in. And the Bible says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with what? Truth. Truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Your loins, your where your power is, right? If you talk to anybody who does sports, they're going to say, you know, if you swing a bat, the power is in your hip. It's all in how you drive with your hip. If somebody does boxing, you know, the jab is kind of like to feel somebody out. But when you drive with that hip, what's going to happen? Those, your loins, that's where the force of your strength is. And so God says he wants your loins girt about with truth. Where do we get truth? Do we just make it up? Is it our opinion? Is it our feelings? Or is it the Word of God? Amen. What do we need? We need to be wrapped up in, girded up in, strengthened by, standing on the foundation of God's Word. That's what he said. Ephesians chapter 6, keep going there. Look at verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of what? Faith. Faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We deal with this all the time. People say crazy stuff and stupid stuff and silly stuff. I'm going to jump off a building and God's going to protect me because I have faith. That's not faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So what did he say you need? The shield of faith. Let's keep going. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Look at how so much of this armor, so much of what you need to be engaged in the battle for God is his Word. Amen. Those two trumpets were essential to warfare. These two books, Old Testament, New Testament, they are essential for warfare. You need this truth. Gird about your loins, protecting you with faith, having that on your as your sword. Let's go back, Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10, verse number 10. Also, in the day of your gladness. Gladness is like joy. Is joy really? It's feeling of happiness. This book brings about gladness, joy, happiness. I'm telling you, this world, they're looking for happiness. They're looking for joy. They're looking for peace. They can't find it. They can't find it because it's within God and his Word. And so many Christians today, really, in the modern generation, this is what I see. When I talk to people who say they're Christian but don't have a foundation in the Word of God, they're just confused. They're confused about their faith. They're confused about life. They're confused about everything because they don't have any real certain truth. They don't have any final authority. Talking to that guy on Friday in St. Augustine about the Bible, he thought he was saved. It's by faith in Jesus, but he might go to purgatory when he dies. So I'm like, are you Catholic? No, I'm not Catholic. Where did you even come up with this stuff? Purgatory is not in the Bible. That's a Catholic thing. And then he's not even Catholic. So strange. Anyway, but what happens? If you don't have a higher authority, if you don't have a final authority, it's whatever you think. It's whatever you make up. It's whatever you imagine. And so the world out there, they're just confused, standing, walking on sinking sand, trying to build their lives on that. And God gave you a solid rock, this book. And let's get a couple of places here. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Keep Numbers 10. You've been there. You'll find it. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. The Bible says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. There's a lot out in this world make your heart stoop, that's for sure. But a good word maketh it glad. Man, you know, this the world, they're looking for it. They wish they could have it. And, this was some years ago. I was overhearing somebody's conversation. And they're like, I just wish somebody would love me. I just wish somebody would care for me. It's right here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Don't those words bring you gladness? Isn't it good to know that the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, cares for you, amen, loves you, wants to protect you and guide you and lead you? Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't it bring you gladness to hear that? Think about that. It sure does. Look at Isaiah 25. Let's go there. Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah chapter 25 and verse number 9. The Bible says, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Now, nation of Israel, right? They're waiting for that. They're looking for that. We've got it. How great is that? Shouldn't that make you glad? I ask people all the time, where are you going when you die? Where are you going when you die? I don't know. Maybe this, maybe that. Isn't it good to know? Man, I know where I'm going when I die. I can be glad. I'm not worried or fretting about what's going to happen to me at the end of my days. Praise God, I've got it and I'm glad. I'm glad that I'm saved. Look at Luke chapter 1. One more Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter 1. Look at verse number 19. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and show thee these glad tidings. Man, it was glad tidings, a glad message to know the forerunner and the Savior are coming. And as it was in these days, aren't you glad they already came? I'm glad that I've got the Savior. I'm glad he came. I'm glad I'm saved. And these good words sure make me glad. Let's go back. Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. And the Bible says, verse number 10, also in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days. Solemn, being grave. serious, associated really in the Bible with the days in which Israel, they were to feel sorrow, great sorrow for the things that they had done. We call that, and you hear it now, it's called Yom Kippur. It's the Day of Atonement, the day of which they're supposed to reflect on all the things that they've done wrong and try and reconcile their relationship to God. Of course, we know that that didn't work, and Jesus Christ is our reconciliation. But I'm really, honestly, I love this book. I love the Lord, and it's so many reasons. But just the one here in front of us is God is honest with you. You live in a world that is cursed by sin. Every day is not a Friday. It's not always going to be sunshine and rainbows. You are going to have some solemn days, some hard days, some difficult days, and days that bring tears, days that bring sorrow, days that bring shame. We can't. What are you going to do? Who else could you go to? Jesus Christ, He's the only one that can help you with it. We live in a world, people just try and medicate themselves out of this. You know, they're told every day is supposed to be a Friday. Every day is supposed to be wonderful. You're supposed to just be happy all the time. And you just can't. With all the evil that goes on every single day outside of me, and then of course the evil that is inside of me, right? My flesh, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Of course you're going to have bad days. Of course things are going to hurt. Of course you're going to have sorrow. And God is honest with you about that. But He says, you know what you need? You need those two trumpets in your solemn days, because it's coming. It's coming. I would just give you two illustrations. Back when we were doing the Walmart thing, before they just denied us all the time, so sad. This woman, she walks by, she goes into the store, and she shuns me on purpose. Goes into the store, 20 minutes later, comes out, shuns me again, I don't want you, I don't want your Bible, get out of here. And goes into her car, and 5 minutes later, she pulls up, right on the curb, and she's like, I need that book. And she said her son had died 2 years ago, and she just quit on God and quit going to church, quit reading the Bible, got it all out of her house. And then, you just don't know, man. You need this book. Amen. And she knew that. She recognized that. And, many of you know my wife's mother, Pam. She passed away recently. And, she's hurting. She's sad. What does she do? Go to the book. And A couple of weeks later, Elizabeth. So, Matthew Morris, missionary from our church, sent out to the frozen north. His wife's mother also died. And so my wife called her to try and comfort her. And she's like, I've just been reading the Psalms every day. It's been such a help. Because those solemn days come. And you need that book. All right, let's get one more, a couple more actually. In the beginning of your months, I'll just say a few things there. Verse number 10. We should start our month off right. I love how we do it here. First of the month, first Sunday of every month, have the Lord's Supper, kind of reset. Put the Lord first. Think about what He's done for you. Do this in remembrance of me. But how about this? Maybe not just start your month off right, start your week off right. Be in this place. Start your day off right. Open this book. Get in this book. Read this book. Start it off right. Starting off right every single day. One more, Romans chapter 12, and I'll read you Numbers 10. It says, "Ye shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God." Romans chapter 12. We'll end with this one. Romans chapter 12. You guys all beat me there. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So God said, you are supposed to offer yourselves a sacrifice to God. What's the driving force behind that? These two books, this scripture. God says, I want you to offer yourself a living sacrifice, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. How do you know what holy is? Search the book. Acceptable unto God. How about this? And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do you renew your mind? Not watching TikTok, right? You renew your mind by reading this book. You renew your mind by getting in God's Word, letting it teach you what God says is holy. What it say? Prove what is good. What is that good and perfect, acceptable will of God? How do you know to prove what God's will is? The book. The book. You need the book. And thought it was really good. Let's go Numbers chapter 10. We'll close with this thought. Numbers chapter 10. Verse number 9, it said, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God. So you're going to war. You blow the trumpet. Reminds God, hey, these are your people. You got to help them. Verse number 10, this is the other way around. That they may be to you for a memorial before your God. So the trumpets were to work really both ways. They blew with the trumpets and it brought them to memory before God to help them in their time of need. But God says, in the day of your gladness, solemn days, beginning of months, offering sacrifice, you blow these trumpets to remind you about God. Because you need them. Praise be the Lord. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for this time with your word. Pray that you bless the rest of our day. As we try and love you and serve you in Jesus' name, amen.